Man, verse 38, chapter 4 of Luke. Let me pray one more time. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. I pray, Father, that you would just speak to us. And Lord, I'm thankful that gold, silver, and bronze medals aren't it, Lord. There is something far greater than that, Lord Jesus, that even these athletes who, Lord, are at the height of their career at 30 years old, 10 years younger than me, Lord, that there is something more for even for them, Lord, and that's you, Jesus. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you would give us understanding and insight this morning as we get into your word. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Remember, I've been kind of harping on this, but I'll remind you again, Jesus was found at the synagogue, the church of the time. So lest anyone think that they don't need to go to church, Jesus went to church. And he knew the heart of man. He knew the minds of what people were thinking. I can only imagine as he was sitting there what he was experiencing as he sat with the people in church. But he went to the home of Simon. This is Peter's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on. You know, can you imagine, parents, if this worked at home? When our kids have a fever, we rebuke the fever, and then the kids get up, and they start doing stuff around the house. It would be amazing. But no, that's not how it works for us. And I know some parents, I read on, you know, one of the parents of our church was writing on Facebook something about their son having a high fever and how it was going to be a long day. So you can imagine when they were asking for help here. Some of you moms have been praying this week, I know, fervently. Don't lose hope. God has a way. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. Might I note that Jesus is finding that quiet time in the morning. The Savior of the world was not immune from the pressures of life, not too great that he couldn't spend time with his heavenly Father. And they were begging him to stay, but he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Again, he's still going to church, still going from church to church. He's still working church to church, lest we might think differently in the churches in America. God is still working. Jesus is still there. He's still going church to church. He still wants to have people's hearts. Chapter 5, verse 12. Let's keep going. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Again, I want to point out here, Jesus doesn't make a big deal about the miracles. He doesn't sensationalize things. We talked a little bit about that last week. He's not like us. What do? Gosh, we make a big deal out of the smallest thing. Have you seen the things surrounding, you know, these gymnasts and these swimmers win gold medals, and all they can pick them apart about is something they said about some politically hot issue, and it overshadows them winning one of the greatest honors in the world. I don't even get it. Our country is messed up. I want to tell these swimmers, go swim for somewhere else, because our media just does not treat them very kindly sometimes. we make a big deal about a lady wearing a burqa. Not sure what that has to do with anything. What a person wears on their head. I mean, the swimmers all wear different caps. They should be going off about Phelps when he went to go for the 4x100 or whatever with the guys, and he ripped his hat. Did you see that? The little rubber, I don't know, I don't even know what you call it, cap, you know? And, yeah. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Note that, underline it, highlight it. Again, Jesus is praying. I am in chapter 5, verse 16. Just finished there. It's interpretive this morning, Christine. I'm just going with the ADD thing this morning, okay? So I'm trying to help you out. Anyway, I know some of you have a hard time tracking. See, this keeps you tracking. This, you know, where is he at? You're trying to figure it out. Gives you something to do. Anyway, verse 17 of chapter 5. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Now, that's, again, not a normal thing. We would normally heal the guy and then bring him up front and share your testimony and the whole thing. What does Jesus say? Get out of here. You're healed. I like that. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Amen? We've seen some remarkable things every day this week with, just like I've been saying, the Olympics, and I just, superhuman powers sometimes. I'm just blown away at some of these athletes. I'm blown away as the guys and I were watching videos on creation, and I was watching another video on the stars and the vastness of the galaxy, and they spent like a half an hour just talking about our galaxy, and then they expanded it from there, and there's just galaxy upon galaxy upon galaxy. I mean, there's billions of stars just in the Milky Way, let alone, you know, the expanded universe, which is just ridiculous. Miracles every night this week, right, with the following meteor showers. Anybody stayed up to watch those? Kids were out on the lawn watching those. Pretty awesome. Seth thought that one was whistling. So, I don't know. Somebody was playing a trick on him, I think. But you never know. As I look at this, I want to cover miracles this morning. You know, we read these stories, and there's nothing real complicated here, right? You know, Jesus went in. I mean, people were sick. He said, "Be well," rebuked a fever, you know, made the leper clean, and you know, I don't want to overcomplicate these stories. I mean, we can go into all these deep theological things this morning, but I think if you're like me, you know, as I read through these events and what Jesus there, I have to ask the question, what's the deal with the healing? Why did Jesus heal? Why does he not sometimes? I mean, I always ask the question with the guy at the pool of Bethesda. There had to have been a bunch of people there at the pool of Bethesda needing to be healed. Why did he heal the one guy? I don't know. Why does God allow people to get sick? Anybody ever ask that question? I mean, we wrestle through these things. And again, over the years, I've lost good friends to cancer. My grandma died suddenly from a blood clot in her lung. We obviously went through this thing with Scott in November, and that was hard. He finds out he's sick, and 3 weeks later, man, Lord, you didn't even give us any time to catch up with that. And we struggle through these things, and I just want you to know that, I wrestle through them just like you do. I mean, I get to go visit how many people a year in the hospital, and it's not fun. It's not pleasurable. And again, I always tell people all the time, I wish I had the magic wand. I wish I could just say, be healed right here. I wish I had that gift. It's not necessarily my gift. I'm the guy carrying the mat, right? I'm the guy like, I don't know how to help you, but I do know the one who can help you. Let's go. And I can destroy a roof. I can destroy a lot of things. I can break stuff. I can do that. And I could fix it. I could fix your roof. I did roofing for 2 years. But I don't know. I don't have the answers to the deep questions, but there are a few things as I have gone along in my 42 years, as I've observed what the Lord has done or not done or whatever, and been in those prayer meetings for healing and the whole thing. I can tell you this. Just a few things this morning. And they're in no particular order. I'm not going to give you a 1, 2, 3. But the first thing is that sometimes Jesus is just moved with love and compassion. Mark 1, verse 41, chapter 1, verse 41 says that when Jesus healed the leper there, it says that he was moved with compassion and healed this guy. I don't know. When he got to Peter's house, I don't know how long his mother-in-law had been sick. If I were Peter, I'd say, Jesus, don't touch her. We don't need any prayer for her. She's fine. We've got her right where you want her. We want her, but, no, I'm just kidding. Don't say that to my mother-in-law. My wife's not here, so I'm feeling free this morning, but no. Oh, I love my mother-in-law, but it's one of those things that, how long had she been sick? I don't know. Maybe she had had this fever for a long time. Maybe she'd really been down. Obviously they asked Jesus to help her. Maybe it was just a flu or what. We don't know. And we could try to go into those things and again, overthink it and whatever. I don't know. Maybe Jesus just felt bad for the lady. Maybe she's older and that kind of thing. Maybe he needed food. I don't know. They're not going to get dinner unless they heal. I don't know. These guys carrying the mat, they were obviously filled with compassion for their buddy, right? So much so they were willing to go and destroy somebody's roof. Get him in front of Jesus. Get this guy out. Help. Do whatever it takes. I've been there. But I just want you to know, and I hope you know, that the Lord loves you. And the Lord's goal is not to torture anybody. He's not the God of making it hard on everybody all the time. That's not his deal. Truth is, we live in a fallen, broken world. There is disease. There are things that come about because we think we're so smart, and then we create some more super bugs or whatever else. Sometimes that's just the case. Sometimes it's just a matter of the bottom line of our bodies are getting older, breaking down, not going to live forever, and it's a reality. But the thing is that Jesus loves us, and he does want to meet us in our hour of need and meet us exactly with what we need at that moment. And sometimes, we pray, we pray for healing, but sometimes we don't. I mean, my friend Scott, he's healed. He is in a better place. And when he left this world, he says, man, I get to see my dad. I get to be with Jesus. I mean, there was excitement. There wasn't a downer for him, though it was as a struggle up to that point. And I love that. I love it that, man, God knows that, people could struggle. Scott could have struggled for another 6 months and still died. And then it's just brutal and miserable and the whole thing. I say, hallelujah, Lord, you didn't make him go that route. And we know people who have had to go through those things, and it's difficult and it's hard. So sometimes, though, the Lord he's just filled with compassion, and he touches people and he heals them and he works and moves and it's amazing. Secondly, sometimes it's just him proving what he's trying to say or what he's trying to teach. I don't know that, for me, I don't need Jesus to do a miracle anymore for him to prove himself to me. I just go, yeah, that's what he said, let's do it, you know. But for some, sometimes in those moments, you know, we need that. Interesting that if you flip over to chapter 7 in Luke there, chapter 7, verse 18, it says that John the Baptist's disciples, told him about all these things, speaking of what Jesus was doing. He had just raised a woman's son from the dead. And he sent them to the Lord, and he said, they went and asked him, they said, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? At that time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. And so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. And then, remember the Pharisees and Sadducees came? Show us another miracle, Lord. Do you remember? You can look it up in Matthew 16. Or show us another miracle, a sign that you are who you are. And he says, no sign's going to be given you except for the sign of Jonah, right? Jonah was what, 3 days in the belly of a whale? And Jesus was speaking and alluding to his death, resurrection. I think that's even what he was alluding to on, I hope people don't fall away on account of me because, man, I'm healing right here, but there's going to be a day I'm going to die. But a lot of times it was just to prove what he was saying. When the masses saw what he did, they started listening up. They came to hear. They would sit there for hours and hours and hours and listen to what Jesus said. And that's why I think we can go longer this morning as well, because the people here wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And I'm not Jesus, but I can keep reading. I don't even have to say anything, but Paul went all night, and somebody died even as a result of that. And then he raised them to life, and he didn't stop there. He raises the guy that, like, falls out the window, right? Falls asleep, falls out the window. Fair warning for anybody that falls asleep in service, you might have trouble. But falls out of the window, dies. Paul raises him to life, and then he keeps going. It's not like he says, well, you know, somebody got hurt here. Maybe we should take a break and wait till morning. Nope, he kept going till it was light. I'm in good company here, people. Mark chapter 16 says this. Chapter 16, actually verses 15, the Great Commission here. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Again, I said last week, I believe that God authorizes himself. And again, they didn't have history or archaeology or anything that we have. I told you before, we kind of looked a little bit last week. You can look up all kinds of information on why we should believe this Bible and how much more information there is about the Bible and the copies and how accurate they are and everything than all the other books written out there. But they didn't have that. They didn't have a way to prove what they were saying. So God did some miraculous things. God can show up when he needs to, and we got to trust that, and we got to pray for that. Hey, Lord, I got this person at work. Just meet them right where they're at. Show up. You know, I don't know what you're going to do, but, I mean, I know for me, you know, as I was even coming here and being a new pastor and, you know, who is this guy? You know, what did he do before? Where did he come from? No, nobody knew me, and we saw a miracle of my neighbor Jay getting saved early on in the ministry here, and when it's the local drug dealer, as Jay was known to be at the time, people had to listen up to what God had to say. God just showed up, did a small little miracle right there in that moment. And it was awesome. And so, you know, sometimes God is trying to prove himself to me and to you. And sometimes he's doing miracles and we miss it. Sometimes God really is doing a lot of things and you're looking for some big, amazing thing. And he's done like 50 small ones right before you. Answered prayers that you've been praying for. And you're kind of missing it. I have to ask the question, how many times has the Lord met you, answered prayers, or you've seen miracles or whatever, and yet you keep going, oh, Lord, just one more sign. Just do this one more thing, and then I'll really make that change, or then I'll obey you, or whatever it is. Now is the time to respond, maybe, for some of us, to stop going, God, show me one more sign, one more thing. And really look back and say, you know what? God really has done some amazing things. Maybe I should listen up. Maybe I should do what he's saying. Fact that some of you probably aren't dead at this moment, myself included, is the grace of God working, moving, saving you, giving you another opportunity, another day to breathe and respond to him. We probably better listen up. Thirdly, sometimes Jesus, if you're taking notes, sometimes Jesus is just clearing away excuses. This is just my interpretation. This is Pastor Kelly speaking here. I think sometimes God is just clearing away excuses. Excuses we have for not coming to him, not going to church, maybe even serving. You know, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now she had no reason she couldn't serve the people that were at her home, right? If you kind of look at the leper there, right? We know this. I mean, a man with leprosy, maybe you don't. It was a brutal thing for them. They were isolated. They were not allowed to fellowship. They weren't even allowed to be, you know, in town. They were kept outside. Turn over to, keep your finger in chapter 5 there, but flip over to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, I know. See, I'm really going long here because I'm getting into Leviticus. We are in trouble. No, chapter 13 of Leviticus. Check this out. So a person who had an infectious disease like leprosy, chapter 13, verse 45, it says, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. Let his hair be unkept. Cover the lower part of his face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone, and he must live outside the camp. That was the rule. What a blessing we have hospitals where they can go and give you some antibiotics, and you can go home. And after a day, they say, well, you should be fine. Just keep taking the medication. Man, what a blessing God has given us in some of our modern medicines and things that we have. That we can even go to a hospital and get help. And they have to help us. I love that. But again, this guy, he comes in the middle of the crowd there, doesn't yell unclean necessarily. And then he's like, Lord, you know, he's on his face begging, like, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Like he's just hoping. He doesn't even really know. I don't know that he had a huge amount of faith there, but he's desperate. And what does it say? Jesus said, be clean. And a couple of the other gospels say that Jesus reached out and he touched him. First time he had ever been touched in years, likely. And notice Jesus does that several times, you know, with the sicknesses. It says that he took the people and he laid hands on them. What a huge thing for some of these people. And again, the leper was put outside the camp, but anybody who had, like if you were bleeding, if you had any kind of issue going on, you couldn't go to church. And so I think Jesus here really is clearing away excuses for some. The paralytic, I don't know that he was welcome at church, and how many excuses he probably had in life for whatever he could do or couldn't do or whatever else. For some of us, it's like that, man. There's always an excuse. There's always a handicap. There's always a reason. And again, I even like this too, because Jesus heals him, but he actually says, now go show yourself to the priest and obey the rules of restoration for that. And if you keep going in Leviticus 14, you can see what that is. It was sacrifices and 7 days of doing different things, and you were healed. Is Jesus anti-doctors? No, I don't think so. He wasn't the priests were the doctors of the day. They didn't have hospitals like we had. It'd be like me having to manage all of your problems and your issues. Well, that looks pretty bad. Go home, pack your stuff, go find a new place to live. Sorry, can't help you. Would love to. Oh, you're healed? Okay, let's kill some birds. Let's bleed them in a cup, and then I'm going to flick you with it. I don't know. It's a pretty weird ceremony they had to do. They had to kill birds. I don't know. Anyway, you got to read it there in Leviticus 14. I like these men, too. You know, this paralytic, man, he wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't get in there. And these guys didn't buy any of that excuses. All right, we're going to take you. We're going to get you. I love that. They were doing what they could do. How many of you have made excuses on why you can't help somebody or do something? Hey, I've been there. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're supposed to be like these four guys. You need to do what you can do. And the truth is, some of y'all need to let us do what we can do to help you and not tell us, no, don't give me the flowers or don't do this or don't do that. No, I'm good, whatever. You need to let people do what they're supposed to be obedient to in the Lord. And that's a whole nother Bible study. But I have to ask the question, what's your excuse? What's my excuse? What are the excuses? Do you feel outcast? Do you feel untouchable? Are you maybe even going, I'm unworthy, whatever. Did you know Jesus wants to touch your life? He really does in a very real way, in a very personal way. And will you accept what he wants to do in and through you, or again, accept what others are being called? Because see, sometimes God is stirring. You're asking for help, and you want this some direct thing from him, and he just sent your neighbor or some brother or sister over to help you, and you told them no, but that was God answering your prayer. Maybe God has touched your life. Maybe you know God has touched your life, and you've walked away, or like the leper, God's healed you. God's done what he's supposed to do, and there's something you're supposed to be obedient to. Just like he said, go and obey, follow the rules for restoration, right? Go offer the sacrifices. There's something that Jesus wants you to do because you know you've been healed. I don't know what that is for you, but again, sometimes God is just trying to clear away excuses, and we come up with new ones. My thing is, we need to stop making excuses, and we need to do what God is asking us to do, and we need to dig into this word and go, okay, Lord, what is it? What can I do to help that person that's in that place? Sometimes it's, again, Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to one of these, you've done what I've asked you to do, right? Fourthly, sometimes he's just blessed. God is just blessed by a person's faith or the faith of others. Sometimes he heals as a result of our faith. Many times Jesus would say, your faith has healed you. What did he say here? He saw the guys that brought this guy in the mat and that said, because of their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, 1 and 2 says what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence by what we don't see. And verse 6 goes on to say, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, because we must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is pleased by our faith. And God is pleased when we, even like the leper, you know, he didn't come demanding. He didn't come expecting that God, Jesus was necessarily going to heal him. He just says, hey, if you're willing, you can make, I know you can do this, see. And if you're willing, you can do this. But I love Hebrews 11. It goes on to say that all these people were living by faith when they died because they didn't receive in this life the things that were promised them. Guys like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those fathers of faith, they had not received necessarily what God had promised them. Maybe you're the kind of person that says, hey, I believe God wants to heal me. I believe this is the promise. I know God wants to do that. And maybe you never receive that complete healing that you know, but you know God can do it, and you're gonna believe that until your dying day. But it says that these people recognized there was something better. See, they recognized there was something more than just the physical, just the things that God was promising. They realized there's more to this life. There was something better. Again, do you know God's gonna give us new bodies? You know, we keep trying to fix these ones up. God's going to give you a new one. I know I want to pray and believe God will heal me and make me better and this and that, but God has something better in mind. I'm just getting along for a few years here. Truth be told. But I constantly have to ask the question, how is my faith? Where is my faith at? Am I growing stronger? Am I going deeper in Christ? Or am I getting derailed because God isn't giving me what I want? I know mine continues to grow deeper as I see daily what God does in the lives of you guys or people that I work with. Or even as I, like I've said before, I read these scientific discoveries or these things that some of it's just mind-blowing. Again, if I just look around and see the little things that God does, my faith is increased. And I still keep hoping for it. Again, when people get sick, I believe, I want to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to ask for healing. We're not going to ask for, well, okay, I hope God, but if you don't do it, I mean, I don't, you know, sometimes we do pray like, you know, hey, Lord, not your will, but not my will, but your will. And that's good. We should be praying that. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. But we should ask. We should believe. And go, yes, we know you can do this, Lord. And then be okay with whatever he decides to do. Because sometimes, fifthly, Jesus allows us to get sick. Why? To humble us. To work in us. To deal with sin. Interesting, did you catch it? This guy is paralyzed, right? And they drop him in front of Jesus. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm helping somebody out and I drop them in front of Jesus, I've just destroyed a roof. Kind of was hoping for more than that, Jesus. we were hoping he could walk. You know, I mean, that was really what we're going for here. We could have caught you aside another time. You could just forgive his sins then. Unfortunately, that's the flesh in me, and that's not me seeing that there's actually something greater that God wants to do. Even the leper, why was this guy have leprosy? Why did it have to go down like this? I don't know, but it was pretty humbling for this guy to come before Jesus and to be asking for help, to be isolated, to go through all that. I can't even imagine. Humbling even for this paralyzed guy to have his friends helping him, right? Can you imagine? He's like, guys, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. You know, let's not mess up this roof, whatever else. I don't know what the discussion was as they were hiking up those stairs on top of the roof. But the truth is that sin is a serious issue in us. It can make us really sick. It can make us the outcast. It can mess us up royally. It can truly paralyze a person, stunt their growth, spiritually speaking, in so many ways. It ruins families. Much like even sickness and disease can just radically change your life. But truth be told, Jesus is not as physically concerned about you as he is spiritually. Jesus says, what does it matter if you gain your life and yet lose your soul? What does it matter? What does it matter if you're Michael Phelps and have won almost, I think he's won, I was looking it up, almost 100 medals in world tournaments, in international tournaments. Before this year's Olympics, he had 69 gold medals in world events. 69. And then 20-something in other type events. Silvers and bronzes. But what does that matter if he doesn't have Christ? If the day he stands before the Lord and the Lord goes, man, you did a really great job swimming. We'll see how you can do in the lake of fire. Now, I don't think God's going to say that to him, but still. All that swimming here doesn't get me anything. All whatever I think I'm gaining here, I can be mad at God the rest of my life because he didn't heal me or whatever, but God is always most concerned with me spiritually. He's always concerned with my heart. And the eternal life is the important part. I'm glad God's concerned with the eternal life and not just with what's here. Honestly, and the real tragedy is that someone would be condemned to hell. That's the real tragedy of all of this. And so sometimes God's trying to teach us something. Sometimes God's trying to work some. I know when I had my stroke, right? I've had 2 strokes 3 years ago, for those of you who didn't know. But I had to ask a question like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Okay, what did I do wrong here, Lord? You know, what needs to change? And I can tell you, I sometimes we even get kind of introspective and selfish about it, but sometimes it's not even about you. It's not about some change God's trying to do in you. It's something you're praying for or something God wants to do in somebody else. And I can tell you with my stroke, it was more about like you all than it was about me. It was more about the other people in my life. It was more about like these people I got into conversations with down at the gym. Because I had 2 or 3 hours to go work out because I couldn't do anything else. And people are like, oh, you're that pastor? Yeah, well, how? Isn't that really bad? Well, you know, it is, but man, God has been so good, and I got people praying for me in Florida, and they just look at me like, what? I'm like, nah, you need to get plugged into church because it's awesome. When you get sick, people are like giving you gift cards and doing stuff for you. They drive you around. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's serious. It was a testimony for the church and what God was doing here. And so many times, you know, that's what it's about. It's not even about you. You need to get your eyes off you and get your eyes on Jesus. You know, what is God trying to change in you or even someone that you're praying for? What changes need to be made? And what things are God trying to root out in my life? You see, that pride and stuff, boy, you get really humbled when you can't drive. You have to have people help you all the time. My brother-in-law was like, Kelly, I thought I was going to have to catch you like 5 times. It's kind of embarrassing because the dude's like, you know, he's a wrestler and he's just this big hulking, I mean, he's not tall, but he's just a big dude, and it's kind of embarrassing when you can't even walk straight. And that was the thing. I was walking down the road, man. You couldn't tell I was not on something, truth be told. And I just had to get over it, whatever I thought people were thinking or whatever else. But sometimes he's using those challenges to discipline me, to slow me down or whatever it is. Again, sometimes I can be like a child demanding that God fix everything, you know, and you need to do this, and this is what needs to be done, and blah, 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 and your prayers of whatever you want fixed and whatever you want done, God's answering, and he's answering through that difficulty and that challenge and that sickness or whatever it is. What you're praying for, he's giving you the answer for it. You just don't like that one, just like a kid, right? I don't like that one, Mommy. I didn't want this doll. I wanted the other one. We can be like that. Are we believing? Are we trusting? Are we We recognize them when we're praying for somebody. Even sometimes now when I pray, like, you know, I want God to get a hold of somebody, I'm like, God, get them. Get them out of their situation, out of their sin or their addiction or whatever. I have to pray, like, God, be merciful. I have a little more compassion because of things I've gone through, right? Like God, take, you know, don't be too hard on them. Take it easy on them. Have mercy. Again, be careful what you pray for. And really, sometimes this sickness or the healing that comes with it is solely about others around me and really God wanting to use me for his glory. All of these people, right? Every one of them, when Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law, you know, people began to listen up. It says the crowds were amazed when the guy with leprosy was healed. Can you imagine how many times that guy was walking through the square, unclean, unclean, and then they see him like skipping around and, are you okay? You know, where's your tattered clothes? This guy that was paralyzed, you know, it says everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Again, it can be remarkable if God heals you. It can also be remarkable and it's amazing when we see people who are very sick, have cancer, whatever, and they go through with flying colors, right? We look up to those. Well, how can you handle that so well? How can you take that issue and that disease so well? And when they're just shining and be like, man, Jesus is with me every day and he helps me, man. When I'm puking in that bucket, he's with me. You're like, what? Wow. That's the kind of person I want to be. Again, God giving glory and bringing glory to the others around you. I can imagine even this paralyzed guy was wondering if these friends that were carrying him, I wonder if they were buddies and they were kind of lifetime buddies and when they were younger, they were doing something stupid and that's how the guy got paralyzed. Just a thought. You know, they were playing around on the roof, you know, the first time and the guy fell off. Now they're on the roof digging through the hole through the roof and bringing their buddy to Jesus, but I don't know. I do know in John 9, do you remember the guy that was there? He was born blind. And sometimes people think that, you know, if you're born with a blindness or illness or sickness that, you know, there must be some sin in your family, your parents, your grandparents, whatever, right? And they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And what did Jesus say? This man was born blind for my glory. God allowed him to be born blind so that God could be given glory right at that moment, so that Jesus could heal him and do what he was going to do. Again, I don't really know the deepness of what God was trying to do with my stroke, but I can say that I'm able to give glory to the Lord. People are asking me all the time, well, how is it now? How are you doing? I'm doing great. Really? Like, yeah, I don't. Well, why did it happen? You know, I don't know. It was just the Lord. I don't know. I still don't know why it happened. But God was good. And they're like, man, that's awesome. God really healed you, didn't he? And I'm like, yeah. What else can I say? Again, be careful what you pray for your friends and family. Are you willing, am I willing, to let God be glorified in me and to accept whatever is thrown my way? Sometimes even like in the case of Job, right? Everybody read Job? That's what you go read when things are getting hard, right? Why? Because we see the courage of Job to say, hey, how can I bless the Lord when I have everything and not bless him when he takes it all away? And was God taking everything away? No, that was Satan taking everything away. God allowed it, yes, but still. And in the end, Job is pretty blessed. It's quite a restoration story. It's, you know, and what does he say? For I know my Redeemer lives. Right? I know where he lives too. He's on the throne. And he's taking care of me. And I know in the end of all this, it's going to work out for good. Flip over to 2 Corinthians. I want to finish here. We got to be reminded of this sometimes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 should be a very familiar passage. I say highlight it, underline it. On those days things are difficult, go to this passage. It's an encouraging passage. When the bodies are giving out, when you're sick, when you're tired. Therefore, verse 16 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. Can I get an amen? Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident. Always in the Greek means always. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him. Now listen to this. Please Him whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Again, my hope is that we just go for it. There's a few of those athletes that were out there this week that were sick. But they jumped in. I mean, what can you do at that point, right? May never get another shot to compete. And they had to just go for it. We look up to them for that. We look to up to the athletes who really struggled through, gutted it out. It wasn't their event, but then they shined and they came on top. They just somehow dug deep and could do it. Again, interesting that it finishes with this thing about the judgment seat. Did you know it's the Bema seat? It's actually the same thing there. It's not judgment like God looking to, you know, condemn you to hell. It's actually judgment like giving out the medals. And the hope is that, man, we just go for it, and we're going to be standing, getting our bronze, silver, gold, whatever it is. Streets of gold. So whatever God has in store is better than that. And so we go for it. We, you know, again, thick or thin. And what does it say? Don't fix your eyes on what is seen. Don't fix your eyes on this issue or this sickness or whatever. Just go dig deep and go, okay, God, what? What is it you're trying to show me? What can I do? Maybe you know somebody that's sick. Maybe you know a friend. What can I do, Lord? I got to dig deep here. I'm struggling through that. I'm mourning with them. I'm compassionate with them. Again, what can I do to help? And maybe it's nothing. Maybe it really is getting down on my knees and praying for them because they don't know what to pray for themselves. That sometimes you need somebody that's clear-headed that can pray. Because I get to the point where I don't even know what to ask. And I'm grateful for somebody that does. Or has the faith that I don't have. It can be powerful and it can be amazing. And so, do I know why God always does what He does? I don't know. I don't know why some people are sick and some people are not. I don't know why God heals some and he doesn't heal others. And at times then it just seems like He's healing everybody. I don't know, but I know that God is trying to achieve for us something greater. He has a greater glory in mind through it, and there's stuff that He's trying to get people's attention. He might make it hard on us to get us to that place where we'll get on our knees and go to Him. Maybe that was the deal with the leper. God had to bring him to that place where he finally was at the end of himself, so he could finally go to the Lord and get help. There's sometimes it's like that. I know some of my brothers at Adult and Teen Challenge, they've gotten to that place. They've hit rock bottom, and it's like, okay, I have nowhere to go but up and in the Lord. Sometimes it takes that. And God can do some amazing things and bring glory to himself if you'll just let him. It's awesome when you get to be a part of that. And when you get to go, okay, Lord, whatever my circumstance is in, I'm going to let you glorify. And gosh, in that circumstance, it's not very fun. In that sickness, in that even death of somebody or whatever it is not fun. But then, like, once I get through it, I'm on the backside, and you tell your story, and people are excited, and then people get saved, or somebody else finds healing and hope in the midst of their situation, and then you're like, oh, okay, Lord, maybe this is why you had me go through it. This is why you had me here, was because to encourage this person. This is what you had in it. Okay, Lord, I get it. And unfortunately, that's after you've gone through all the hard. Am I giving you any hope for while it's hard? Not necessarily. But again, we fix our eyes on what is unseen, on the Lord, not what is seen, not what is right in front of my face. And I go, okay, Lord, I will just trust in you. And when you do that, you will have a peace that passes understanding throughout your circumstances and your situation. Can God heal? Yes. Should you pray for healing? Yes, I believe so. Should you believe by faith every single person could be healed? Yes, I believe that. And that's how we're going to pray here. Does God heal every time? No, he doesn't. Why? Can't tell you. But he knows. My thing is, I just want to be standing on the pedestal getting the gold, getting the silver. That God goes, that pleased me when you trusted me in that moment and you didn't know what was going on and you didn't know what I was doing, but you just trusted me that I knew what I was doing. Gold medal right there, right? If those people went out in that pool not believing they could win, they probably wouldn't have gotten a medal. They go out every time believing they can win the race. And sometimes they do. Sometimes they come up. I mean, a couple of the gals, that one gal, Dorado, and the other gal, Manuel, both won gold medals. And they were shocked. They were like, what? I won the gold? I mean, they weren't even picked. They weren't even the favored U.S. person. Again, that's how we live our lives, by faith, not by sight, believing that God has something better waiting for us, and it's definitely not here. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you.